Want instant MVP status? Join the new Dick's Scorecard Plus program. For $99, Scorecard Plus members enjoy 1 year packed with perks, like $80 in annual bonus rewards, free shipping with no minimum purchase, triple points on 2 purchases, and more. That's over $160 in benefits. Join Dick's Scorecard Plus today and score more than ever. Tap the banner to learn more. Exclusions and terms apply. Visit Dicks.com/scorecardplus for details.
Live from the RentersWarehouse.com studios in Houston, Texas, here's Joel Blank and Barry Laminack, powered by Infuse Energy. Infuse energy into your life.
So let me get this straight. We had All-Star Weekend, and we agreed that it sucked.
Yes.
You have the third best team in the Western Conference, one of the top five teams in the NBA.
With trade rumors.
25 games to go. You have trade rumors galore. You have a trade that went down today. And yet we have a switchboard that won't go away with everyone wanting to talk about All-Star Weekend. Where the hell has this been when there's been legitimate basketball to talk about?
Best weekend of my life.
Oh, my God.
What?
I don't know where that came from either, but...
No.
You really need a better life.
No, I fell asleep to the All-Star game.
Yeah, there you go. Maybe the marketers at the NBA can use it as a sleep remedy. If you can't sleep, we've got a weekend for you. All right, Justin, you want to get in here and then we're drawing the line. All-Star Weekend, what's up? Thank you. You did it for us. We appreciate it. Justin, gone. All right, let's start hour two with what we talked about with Kevin McHale just a little bit. The end of the road for Boogie Cousins in Sacramento. An all-star caliber player, but if you talk about people that know what's between his ears, the fact that he has, from the inside out, torn apart an organization, they finally had enough. The owner decided to pull the plug to agree to make a move, and... they went for the, I guess, the best offer they could find, but they ended up trading him to the New Orleans Pelicans for Buddy Hield, a future number one, Tyreke Evans. You know, everybody thinks they could have gotten more, but as Kevin McHale said, you can only get what you're offered and what people are talking about. When they know you're going to unload him and you know you're cutting the cord, they're not going to offer their best player.
You know, the key to this was, and no one mentions it, but it's the most important part, was Omri Caspi. I'm just kidding. I just wanted to
And there's
that.
A guy that actually liked Sacramento and didn't want to leave. He's probably really bummed out.
So it was DeMarcus Cousins and Omri Caspi go to the Pelicans, Buddy Hield, Tyreke Evans, Langston Galloway, a 2017 first-round pick, and a future second-round pick is what the Kings get. Mm-hmm. The thing that I think is getting lost in all of this, in this trade, as everyone's looking at the fact that it's DeMarcus Cousins, and you know, and when I ask Coach, hey, do you think at some point that negotiations break down, or that you know the Sacramento front office thought, you know what, I don't know that we'll be able to sign him long term, and I wonder if that had something to do with it. And everyone's kind of saying, well, the Pelicans had some risk in this as well. You know, they gave up a first round pick, which if they were to not make this deal, would have been a lottery pick because they weren't going to make the playoffs.
Take the other part of that you just mentioned, though.
Well, hold on, because I wanted to say something
else. I thought you were
done. No, because so they if they don't make this deal, they're essentially, you know, a lottery team, and they have a lottery pick. But they're taking some risk, too, because they gave up Buddy Hield and some draft picks, and what they're getting in return is possibly a rental. They don't even know, one, if they're going to make the playoffs with this dude, which I think they will, but that's obviously another topic of conversation. But they don't know if they're going to have him long term. I mean, his agent, DeMarcus Cousins' agent, said if he's not with the Kings, he will test free agency. He will go out there and see what he can get. So there's no guarantee that he resigns with them.
Take the flip side, too, on DeMarcus Cousins. Okay, you say, you know, about the resigning aspect, if he said he wasn't going to resign. But the other thing is, if you take it to that level and then you don't resign him, you run the risk of him walking away and getting nothing.
Yeah.
And people started, the calendar was ticking on that too, so people knew that as well.
Yep.
And I can't emphasize enough how right Coach is and how many times we both have talked to people that we know that were inside the organization and around it, that this guy was just a bad dude in the organization. From practices to the locker room to things that bothered him in the front office to front office people that bothered him to all the different things up and down. It was just like one of those things where it had run its course. There was no more apologies. There was no way of making it better or taking another crack at it. And at least this way, he's reunited with one of his Kentucky boys in Anthony Davis. And if there's ever a reason to want to re-sign where you said you wouldn't re-sign until your contract was up, it might be the fact that you now have in a game that we've all highlighted doesn't have many big men anymore, and it's more the game of the wings and the guards, you have a chance to really put together a front line that can compete and probably dominate most front lines in the NBA simply because they're bigger, they're better, and now both of them can stretch the floor and shoot it. They bring a dynamic that not a lot of teams can match up with.
Yeah, and I just want to point out one more thing about the contracts, because I think this is very important, and it's what the Kings kind of feared, was that if he didn't, it's what his agents feared, I should say. If he didn't re-sign, if he re-signed with the Kings, he could get $200 million if he signs that extension. The fact that he's been traded now, he can't. He can't get that same deal with the Pelicans. He doesn't get to re-sign with them for $200 million anymore because of the new CBA. Like, the max he can get now is like $180 million. So I think they said it cost him, this trade essentially cost him in the neighborhood of $30 million. By being traded. And now he doesn't need, and this is why I say the Pelicans might be renting him, because since they don't have the incentive in the Cousins camp to re-sign with them, whatever deal the Pelicans can offer, anyone else in the NBA can offer him as a free agent. So that whole $30 million, $200 million thing is gone now that he's been traded. So the Pelicans are taking a real risk here as well.
Yeah, I got to research that, because
it is. I was looking it up because I was curious about, you know, I knew the CBA kind of affected the way he trades it. That's a thing. I mean,
because the NBA forever wanted you to be able to keep your own so that small market teams could thrive and survive instead of guys one and done in first contract and then out because they don't want to play in Milwaukee or, you know, small market teams.
Here, I'll read you the quote. This is from Brian Windhorst ESPN senior writer. It says, did Cousins want to be traded? No. The $200 million extension was only possible with the Kings under the new rule. He can't get the same deal with the Pelicans or any other team. If he were to sign a max extension with the Pelicans this summer, it would be for 5 years and $180 million. So the trade might cost him $30 million. His agents were afraid of this. They were saber-rattling that he wouldn't re-sign if he was traded. They were trying to scare the Pelicans and other teams off, and it didn't work.
Yeah, because they wanted him to make sure that he had that last chance. So there you go. That makes sense. So again, look. I think there were two teams going in the same direction. They were both going south. So at least from the perspective of what you have to lose versus what you have to gain, New Orleans had a ton of bad contracts and a ton of players that played the same position. At least now you've got a bona fide center, and you play Anthony Davis at his real true position, which is a power forward. And if somehow, some way, they've been trying to court Paul George, but if they get a small forward that can play like Paul George to go with those two guys up front, and they still have a point guard like Drew Holiday, they have some pieces. Look, that could be a pretty quick transformation if those guys stay together. So at least you're taking a chance, and you have more excitement in New Orleans than you had going into the All-Star break. Your guy wins MVP, you get a brand new All-Star center, and you at least have some hope. Whereas if you're Sacramento, you just hope everybody tanks it so you get the best draft picks possible because you're starting from scratch.
We're not really going to say that an All-Star MVP counts as anything, are we?
No.
Okay.
Because he wasn't the, you know what, and if you didn't watch it, you can't really answer this, but I said over and over again, it was the most uneventful and unimpressive 50-some points ever, but that I thought that, especially some people were ragging on Westbrook looked head and shoulders like the most aggressive and maybe the best player. Him and LeBron were the two best players on the court.
Did you see that there was a somebody tried to do this trade on NBA 2K17? And even the video game was like, nope, that's not a fair trade. And that the video game wouldn't allow the trade to go through as is. So I thought that was pretty funny, because you're always trying to, like, on those games, usually they'll just let terrible trades go through.
Yeah.
Right.
And even they thought, there's no way that this trade would ever happen. You can't do it.
And here's the thing. If you know what we've been talking about and kind of highlighting to some degree about what Boogie was like to deal with, and you got to start over. One thing that people aren't giving the Kings enough credit for is they could end up with two top 10 picks in what might go down as one of the best drafts in NBA history.
Yeah.
So the fact that you can get a way to start over, you get a lottery pick from last year in Buddy Hield, and you get two lottery picks potentially this year.
Okay, so, well, now that's the question, though. Do you don't think that this trade puts the Pelicans into the playoffs?
I think they're still, what is it, 11 games or 9 games under 500. I just don't think
like three back of the 8 spot.
Again, it just doesn't happen overnight. There's still chemistry. They're still figuring out rotations. There's still kind of like him getting used to his teammates getting used to him. I really don't believe that they're going to turn it around quick enough with 20-some games to go in the season to get into the 8th.
Well, here's the thing. So Denver is at 8 right now. They're 22 games back at first. So if you just go off of not winning percentages, but I'm just looking at games back and doing the math. The number nine spot is Sacramento at 23.5 games back, so a game and a half more than Denver. Then it's the Blazers, 24, so two full games behind the Nuggets. And then it's the Pelicans at 24.5 games out. So that puts them 2.5 games behind the Nuggets at the eight spot. You don't think DeMarcus Cousins added to that team makes 2.5 games difference in the standings?
I've said it. I think over the course of at least a half a season, I think it could, and I think it should. But I think that because there's only 20, depending on you know where you are in your schedule, 20-some-odd games left in the regular season, I just think regardless of all those things that you just said, you know, they're, you know, Denver's actually playing better ball than people give them credit for. Mm-hmm. They've actually been playing good ball all year. It's two games in the loss column. That's what I'll look at. And so, yes, it is possible. I mean, Sacramento's two games out. So New Orleans is three in the loss column out from Denver. It is possible.
So I'm saying, I really think this makes a difference because if you look at strength of schedule for these teams, like the Nuggets and the Pelicans, their strength of schedule is about the same for the remainder of the season. Mm-hmm. The Pelicans have the ninth toughest schedule in the conference between now and the end of the year. The Nuggets have the 11th. So there's not that much difference. But when you talk about adding a guy of the caliber of Boogie Cousins to that team, I think that makes a huge difference. I think that eight seed, they have a legitimate chance of catching the Nuggets.
Oh, there's definitely a legitimate chance.
And I think they will. I honestly think the Pelicans will be in the playoffs with this
But trade. I think you also have to look at the teams in between. I still think Portland is a team that can play with most teams. Dallas has been winning a lot of games. So it may be more how many teams they have to get around and over and through as anything else. We're looking at just Denver. But when you look at the fact that the Blazers have been playing better basketball of late and they have a great backcourt, when you're looking at Dallas, who's really started to play a lot better basketball of late, you got some teams that you got to leapfrog as well. So, I mean, my first gut feeling was they're not going to get in and there's not enough games. But looking at it from the loss column perspective, yeah, there's a chance for sure.
Yeah. I mean, the Thunder, the Nuggets, who are sitting 7-8 right now from a strength of schedule perspective, the Thunder have the second easiest schedule down the stretch. And the Nuggets are like 11th.
Guy I used to work with, by the way, said that the reason why the Pelicans could separate themselves from Buddy Hield was they had Demo. Please don't ever Please don't ever insult me like that again.
What?
They don't even play the same position. And Demo might be one hell of a great guy, but Demo's not a small forward, and he's not a top 10 pick, and he's not athletic like Buddy Hield, or he can't shoot it like that.
Okay, I'm going to close this tab because I had it, but strength of schedule, two more things. Toughest strength of schedule down the stretch, Spurs, and the Rockets have the fifth hardest. For what
Still
it's worth.
Fifth hardest?
Yep, for what it's worth.
But mostly home games, right?
Yeah, they do have two more home games than road games.
Oh. Yeah. I thought it was... Wow.
Yeah.
We'll see. Hey, right now, your Rockets, the third seed, five back of number two, which is one thing. But the Clippers, three back, and the Jazz, four back of trying to catch the Rockets. So in a pretty good spot. So if you want to talk about the Rockets, let us know. Otherwise, we got plenty more lined up and can get to on the docket. We're here till 4 o'clock. It's Nick, it's Joel, it's Barry, it's ESPN 97.5.
Warning, warning. You're listening to ESPN 97.5.
I wish that I could fly into the sky.
Live from the RentersWarehouse.com studios in Houston, Texas, here's Joel Blank and Barry Laminack, powered by Infuse Energy. Infuse energy into your life.
Joel, Barry, and Nick till 4 as we continue to roll on, and we've got the Boogie. So everybody's talking about Boogie Cousins after we spent way too much time on All-Star Weekend. Chuck, you've been holding a long time. We appreciate it. You want to talk about Boogie Cousins. What's up?
Oh, man, love your show, guys. I just like to make a statement on Boogie Cousins. Is he really that good, or is there just really no good big men out there? The man averages a stuffer whose team never wins. And he's also going to the best young big man in the league, Anthony Davis, another stat stuffer whose team doesn't win. Man, this is such a crock, man. I don't. The NBA, man, sound like an old man telling you to get off my lawn. But for goodness sakes, man, can we play team ball? Can we just play team ball? Make an open pass. Somebody make an open pass. I'll listen.
Appreciate it, Chuck. Way to bring it strong.
I like the passion. Even though it sounded like he was bleeping himself.
Yeah.
because he was hitting the numbers, but I think that was just by accident. But yeah, I mean, Chuck, I was of the same impression a few years ago, and then because I wasn't a huge into the NBA, I kind of drifted away from it. And then a few people slapped me around and said, really watch the game. Really sit down and watch some games. And I think we're seeing some pretty great basketball right now. There's, without a doubt, some of the best players to ever play in the game are playing right now, and LeBron and a few other guys. I mean, I enjoy the game much more than I did, say, early 2000s. I think it's a much better product now. And, I mean, Boogie's he's good for what's out there.
There's a reason guys like time? No. From Kevin McHale – to most general managers in the league that are increasingly they've been enticed and intrigued by Boogie Cousins, because mm-hmm. they've all where everybody to a man has said, if he can figure out what's going on between his ears, talent wise, from the ability to make free throws, to make threes, to face the basket, and then to go down and be dominant on a low block. And Chuck, to your point, you're right. The game is not like we've talked about. There's not a lot of quality big men. He could go down and be the most dominant player in the league if he could just figure it out between his ears. And that's why the potential there has so many people intrigued. But at the end of the day, people thought, well, in a couple of years, he'll mature and that'll go away. No, it hasn't. You know, he'll understand that you don't vandalize your own organization from the inside out. That'll go away when he learns how to be a pro. No, it hasn't. Yeah. So now what they're going to do is they're going to take a shot that the two guys that played at Kentucky that can be in their Wildcat family can figure it out together and realize that if they each know their role and play their part, that they can be a dominant front line in the NBA. It remains to be seen, but it's a, like I said, it's a risk worth taking if you're the Pelicans, because you were going nowhere anyway. You had a lot of the players playing the same position. You had Holiday and Tyreke Evans, and neither one of them could really stay healthy, but Tyreke Evans was always a tweener that didn't fit, that was making, you know, millions upon millions, that didn't work. They just kept taking chances and flyers on veterans or overpaying other guys that were becoming free agents and digging a hole for themselves. At least here, you give the people of New Orleans a little hope and optimism to say, hey, if this does work out, these two guys get along and we sign them both to long-term deals, you got, like Chuck said, two of the best young big men in the league. Can it work? I don't know.
Yeah.
Well, it's worth finding out, because it's a lot better than where they were going and what they were doing.
I mean, you got to do something, right? You got to pull the trigger. There's talks of the Rockets going out and getting Wilson Chandler, a shooting guard slash what, small forward slash stretch power
depending
forward.
Depending on the system, a 2-3-4.
You said he's a defensive guy, but you know, you look at it, he's a poor man's Ryan Anderson. Would that be what you said? He's kind of like Ryan Anderson from a four?
I said he's kind of a four. He's a poor man's younger Trevor Ariza,
okay,
because he can defend and he's athletic and he can shoot it a little bit better than average from outside. And in the Rockets system, he's a four simply because they don't play big fours. They don't have the big lumbering bodies. They have the athletic guys that can get up down the court. So with all those things being said, I think he's an upgrade over what you got, because you can't trust KJ McDaniels on the offensive end, and that experiment pretty much has been thrown on the wayside as scrap heap. Decker's inexperienced, but has potential. I think it strengthens your rotation depending on what you have to give up. That's the big key.
Mm-hmm.
You don't want to take out addition by subtraction, but you're taking out a player in your rotation that hurts you.
Who would you give up for him?
Man, we got to look at the salaries on that.
What would be your line? Like, I'll give up KJ McDaniels, but I'm not giving up Montrezl Harrell. Or I'll give up Montrezl Harrell, but I'm not giving up Sam Decker.
Yeah, I would give up one, not the other, between Harrell and Decker. And you can have KJ McDaniels, because it actually does you a favor, because it takes that money off the books.
Yeah. We also got our daily text from 281, who was asking if Brewer's been traded yet. He texts every day.
There's another
Brewer been traded yet.
Well, and Corey Brewer has had experience with Denver. Maybe that's a guy that if you can unload, it's addition by subtraction. If you can unload Brewer or KJ McDaniels, I just wouldn't part with both Harrell and or Decker, because they've proven that they have a role in this franchise for the next 3 to 5 years.
Poor Corey Brewer though, man. He gets so much hate,
and he's a good dude. And it was weird because when they first got him, he was the perfect fit. But remember when they first got him, he was on fire from 3-point range. But you look at the mechanics of that shot, and even McHale was telling me at the time, going, I don't know how he's doing it. And we looked at so much tape where we knew he wasn't a three-point shooter, but as long as he keeps making them, we're good. And then it just one day, like someone turned the switch back off, and it's like, oops, sorry, fun time's over. Now you're going to miss everything.
Go back to clanking.
Yep, you either better run and finish at the bucket, or you're done.
He'll have a streak.
That would be a good nickname, right? Clank what? Brewer.
Oh, man. Jeez.
Corey the Clank Brewer.
Just there call you go. Him Clank.
There you go.
Yeah, I like it. What were you going to say? I'm sorry, I cut you off.
Yeah, he's had streaks. They're just few and far between. So it's unfortunate for Corey. But yeah, he gets
it's
a lot of
like
hate.
The Matt Schaub syndrome, too. People are so down on him that they forget. He and Josh Smith were the catalyst to coming back in game six against the Clippers.
Yeah, but again, you're right, though, in that you know everyone remembers, man, remember when Corey Brewer was hitting all those threes? Yeah, that was also the exception, not the norm.
You want me to take another jab?
Do it.
Remember when he went for 50 plus in a game against the Rockets?
Yeah.
That's when you realize that anything's possible and sometimes flukes do happen.
And that's when they decided they were going to go get him. That's what the Rockets do. They're like, oh, you torch us for 50?
You know what you call that? The Kelvin Cato syndrome. Exactly. You go for a triple-double in the preseason, you're our man long-term, buddy.
Yep.
It does not matter if you're playing against Mother Teresa's School of the Blind in the preseason.
Yeah.
All right, right now I want to tell you about Window World. Energy bills are going up, and every day you're throwing money out the window. Literally. Unless you have energy-efficient replacement windows from Window World. Get a premium quality double hung, if you know what I mean, double pane window for just $189 plus $45 for solar zone low E to meet Texas energy regulations. Window World earned the Good Housekeeping Seal, is the number one replacement window company in America, and now you get free home estimates. It doesn't cost you a thing, and they can come in and analyze what you have, what you need, and if you're throwing money away and if they can help. It's that simple. You just call 713-439-1172 or go online, windowworldhouston.com. 713-439-1172 or windowworldhouston.com. No obligation. You call and say you'd like a free written estimate. They come out. They check out what you got, what you need, break it all down for you, write it all up, and then the choice is yours. You can either go with Window World, you can go it like you've been going it, or you can elect to pass. But either way, it gives you an idea of what you could be saving and the difference that you could make on your house if you added windows from Window World. I'm telling you right now, check it out. No obligation, and they're great people to work with. WindowWorldHouston.com, 713-439-1172. Window World, simply the best for less.
ESPN 97.5. Live from the RentersWarehouse.com studios in Houston, Texas, here's Joel Blank and Barry Laminack, powered by Infuse Energy. Infuse energy into your life.
Joel, Nick, Barry, till four, a happy 54th birthday to the Round Mound of Rebound. Charles Barkley, 54 today. Lord knows he'll get his take of cake and ice cream and sweets and whatever else he wants.
Does he get his own cake, like a personal cake?
I would assume so.
Yeah.
I would assume TNT gives him more than that.
Probably.
But since he just got out of New Orleans, I'm sure between the gambling and the parties, he did fine.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I'm sure.
You
He's
guys
not starving, that's for sure.
Now, I asked you guys this because, again, you're the resident experts on MMA and UFC, but there was a fight card on Saturday night.
Don't be throwing that word experts around. Like,
you guys know what you're talking about.
I mean, that doesn't...
You're not expert. We'd
that
like to
doesn't
yap
necessarily
about it.
So
make
here's the thing.
Experts.
I get criticized when I'm critical, and I get criticized when I'm complimentary. So essentially, it's a no-win. I believe that you guys... Look, you guys spend more time than most knowing this sport.
Nick
covers everything. When aren't you critical? I mean, let's be honest. Let's be real.
Boy.
But at the same time, I asked Barry, I said, would it be fair to say UFC's card on Saturday night was almost parallel to the All-Star? It just wasn't that eventful, with the exception of what you said, the Bellator and
the Bellator card was the one that was bad. The UFC card was actually pretty good.
Okay.
Yeah, it was actually a good card. The UFC fight night in Halifax. It was the Bellator card that was garbage.
Okay. I didn't watch the Bellator because as soon as Matt Mitrione pulled out, I didn't even.
Man, it's like I said, Bellator needs to stop calling their champions world champions. That's just not the case. That's just silly. It's like the CFL saying their champion is the world champion. Stop it. Stop it right now. Number two, Bellator needs to stop trying to get UFC retreads and needs to focus on signing young up and coming talent. But other than that, Bellator is it's not a great product. It's just really not. And then they try to bring Fedor back and relive the glory days, no pun intended there, but relive the glory days of MMA. And Matt Mitrione, what is it? Did you ever find out what it was? Because I never heard.
They just said the officials said that he fell sick and he couldn't compete.
Somebody said kidney stones or something like that. I never heard what it was.
Wow.
But either way, that fight never happened. And then the main event was less than eventful. But at least the UFC came through this weekend.
Yep.
With UFC, was it Fight Night Halifax?
And I could have told you this was going to be more eventful than the All-Star game. It just, you know. Just because you know what to expect with the All-Star game, you don't know what you're going to get with a fight card. It could be good. It could be bad. It could be okay.
Yeah. So thoughts on the Travis Brown, Derek Lewis fight?
I mean, like I said, I told you I fell asleep probably.
That's starting off good.
What was it?
You had a really good weekend, didn't you, Nick?
Hector, Lombard and versus after Hendricks Lombard is basically when I fell asleep.
You didn't like the Hendricks Lombard fight? That was boring. That's why you fell asleep.
No, I thought it was good. I think Hendricks made a good. He made a good name. You know, he made a name for himself for his comeback, because when you look at everything that has been said leading up to that Hector Lombard fight, everybody thought he was just, you know, he was past his prime and he was over with. This was a good win for him. So I didn't pick Hendricks. I thought he was going to struggle with a guy like Hector Lombard, but I think he got the win. I think it was well deserved.
Yeah, I went 2 for 3 on my picks, which, you know, I haven't done picks in forever. So
yeah.
Last weekend was the first weekend in a really long time because I had some people asking me for it. So I sat down and did my picks. I went 4 of 5, not bad. This weekend, we only picked three right. fights. I went 2 of 3, so I'm happy with that.
Yeah. I wish I had more time to look at Tucker, because yeah. Tucker is crazy good.
Tucker's good, man.
Yeah,
he's that's the thing. That's what I love about the UFC, man. Their talent pool continues to grow. But so the Derek Lewis fight. Well, first of all, by the way, for Johnny Hendricks moving up in a weight class, I'm not so sure that that's the best thing for him long term, because he's really going to struggle fighting the bigger guys in that division.
He's just struggling to make 170 so much. I guess he's just.
But he was giving up a reach advantage to Hector Lombard.
Yep.
And that's, I mean, if he starts to move up in that division, it's going to get really difficult for him.
Yeah, especially the way how big these 185ers look. They look ridiculously big. A lot of them are walking around at, what, 215?
Yeah. And reach doesn't matter on the ground. That's a good thing.
Yeah.
But you got to get those guys down there. But the Derek Lewis, Travis Brown fight, for my money and for my 2 cents, I was a little worried early on, man. Derek Lewis, it's been known that was the game plan, was to kick, you know, wear that front leg out of Lewis. He, you know, we've seen that before. He has a difficult time checking him. He doesn't check him usually, but when Travis Brown started working the midsection, he kicked him in the stomach really early on, and you could tell. I mean, Lewis didn't even try to hide it. It hurt. Yeah. It hurt bad. And there were people tweeting me like, "Oh man, it's just a body shot." Dude, if you've never fought and never been hit in the liver or never been hit in the midsection like that, you have no idea. Yeah. They even interviewed after they were talking to Melendez and Dominic Cruz about it, and both of them said, "I would much rather be hit in the face than hit with a body shot." And that's I mean, for the little Muay Thai that I did, the little bit of training I did, I can tell you that the only time that I was ever dropped was a body shot, and it hurt so bad. And when the post fight, Derek Lewis is talking about, they said, "Are you okay? Are you hurt?" He said, "I'm not really hurt. I just got a boo-boo." Like, that's what it feels like. That's what happens when you get hit with a body shot.
Yeah.
Your body can shut down.
Especially with a guy like Travis Brown, because he has so much length.
Yep.
And he has so much leverage.
Is that like
leverage.
Getting the wind knocked out of you?
No, or when it's worse. It's like if you've never been punched in like the kidney or the liver or whatever, it's just your whole body, you can't physically do anything about it, because I got hit once and I was, you know, I'm fine, I'm getting punched in the face, that's no big deal, like, you kind of get used to that. But when that body shot happens, it's just literally you're trying to stay up and you can't. Your body just, it just shuts down. That's why there, you don't want to show that you're hurt,
yeah,
but it hurts so bad you can't help it. That's what
was happening. But when she did it to you, was it with a heel on?
Shut up.
Just asking.
But I thought,
yeah, you know, Brown, because of his length, like he can kick you from a distance and it'll still have enough leverage to hurt. And I think that really, really bothered Derek Lewis.
Yeah, he doesn't do well with kicks. And that's what, you know, and if you heard Bob Perez, his coach, in between rounds was saying, you need to close that distance. You need to get on the inside. Because Derek was standing on the outside, which is kick range, and you can't do that.
Yeah.
And then, you know, Travis Brown kind of lost sight of the game plan, which was stay on the outside and wear out Derek Lewis with kicks, decided to start trading with him. And you, right now, very few heavyweights can trade with Derek Lewis. You just don't want to do that. And I was even texting you, when he got him, when Derek Lewis, when the fight went to the ground and Derek Lewis was on top of him, what was my text to you?
This is what he does.
Right now he's resting, and that's what he did. He got on top.
I stopped paying attention. I told you so. You said something about told you so.
I said this is what he does. He gets you on the ground. He'll get his win back, and then he finishes with ground and pound, and that's exactly what he did, man.
Derek is just resting right now. But I mean, the thing about him is that this is a good, the fact that he went through that kick from Travis Brown. That's a good thing because now he'll be ready for a even more competent heavyweight in the UFC. He needed to go through that because if he didn't, he might have seen that, you know, later in his career when it, you know, it could have been during a potential title fight. You never know. So.
Yeah, going through some of that adversity is good, especially against a top tier talent like Brown. And you know, there was talks of, well, who does he get next? Who's he going to fight next? And I really think he should get the winner of Alistair Overeem and Mark Hunt. I really think that would be that's a fight people would want to see. I know people are wanting him to fight some other guys, but I think right now, coming off of this win and the way that he did it, giving him the winner of Reem Hunt would be.
I think that's fair. I didn't even think about it. I was going to think something like Francis, who I mentioned on the show before, Francis Ngannou.
Mm-hmm.
But I don't know if he's already set to face somebody. But no, I think Alistair Overeem or Mark Hunt would be better only because they're bigger names and they're both strikers.
Well, and then that's true too. And you know, Lewis called out Hunt saying I think that would be a great fight to see those two bang. But I think the winner of and he's going to take some time off. He said he's going to take 3 months off, and as well he should. But did you see his post fight interview in the cage with
I did
the All American?
I did. He made reference to Travis Brown, to Ronda Rousey.
Yeah.
He made reference to the domestic abuse or the alleged domestic abuse past that Travis Brown had.
He said something to the effect of he likes to hit women, so I had to go out there and show him what was up. Where's Ronda's fine ass? Because, you know, Travis Brown and Ronda Rousey date. So, and then Brian Sands was like, okay, let's get back to the fight. Like, he didn't know what to do, but that's Derek. Derek's trolling, man. Derek's always going to talk crazy.
And Travis Brown, I imagine, is still in the cage at this point.
I believe he was, or he was just exiting, so he heard it. He definitely heard it.
I think it's funny, too, because it's just because they're marketing themselves at all times, that having been down there right near the cage and then afterwards in the tunnel and back by the locker rooms with these guys when the first big one was in Houston, that these guys are good buddies, but it's all part of the show, too. In a lot of cases, they talk a lot of mess publicly, and then privately they're like, hey, look, it's all for the good of the sport.
Yeah, and you have that relationship sometimes. Sometimes it's genuine, like they actually hate each other.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, you do see a lot of camaraderie in the sport just because it's such a brutal sport. So they kind of build a bond when they're fighting. But yeah, I mean, I think it's a good win for Derek Lewis.
I did see this and I retweeted it, but I thought of both you guys. There was an MMA card. I think it was in England.
Yeah, guy was dancing.
Yeah, and the guy, they're sparring a little bit, and he starts doing, like, the Michael Jackson moves, thinking that he got a shot in, and the guy just absolutely levels him and knocks him out. And I thought, that is just fitting for a showboat to get what he deserves. I thought that was a great video. Did you see it, Nick?
Absolutely, yeah. I mean, he was dancing right when he made, I think he was making, like, a punch, like his signature move there, and then he got kicked in the face and just went to sleep. It looked pretty embarrassing.
You'd never want to get knocked out showboating. That's why you don't showboat, man, because you just never know. But yeah, dude, I enjoyed it, man. I've actually, you know, after I shut down the cage door, I stopped really getting. I was burned out on MMA, but the last couple of months, I've really been getting back into it.
Yeah,
and I'm finding a renewed sense of love for the sport. So it's been cool. I'm hoping that some of the cards that they're putting on that are good continue.
Yeah, me too. Because then the cool thing about it too is that like cards like Fight Nights that go on Fox Sports 1 are free.
Yep.
And you have a chance to just check them out. And even if it doesn't look like it's a good card on paper, it could still turn out to be a good card. So yeah, I'm looking forward to it too.
Yeah, and then Brian Stan also said one other thing about the finish. That I don't know if you saw the finish, but they said that the referee was kind of slow getting in there and stopping it. Travis Brown was taking a lot of punishment at the end.
I was just looking at that video.
You never want a guy to take a lot of punishment. But here's the thing. During the fight, At one point, when Lewis started unleashing this barrage of punches and some uppercuts getting in between the, you know, the defenses of Travis Brown, Brown at one point looked at the referee and said, "I'm okay, don't stop it." And he was taking some punishment.
Right.
And that can backfire because on the ground, he's getting beat on. And yep. He got knocked out at one point. You could clearly see in the replay, he got knocked out, and then the next punch woke him up. But that's what happens when you show you can take some punishment. The referee was like, "All right, he's already done this once. I'm going to give him a chance." And then it did go too long,
right?
But that's a repercussion of being able to take that kind of punishment.
What should have been an indicator is when he was standing and then he kind of fell on his behind and fell back. At that point, he should have been like, "All right, I'm probably not going to let him take more than one or two punches." But he fell on his back. He kind of tripped and slipped on his back. And he still let him take 3, 4, 5 punches back to back to back. And I think that's the reason why it was so controversial, because you could tell Travis was done, even if he said it or not.
Well, when he first landed, though, his hands were still up. He was still defending, but one slipped in, and that's when his hands went to his side. And that's kind of when you got to stop it.
Yeah.
But if you see a dude taking punishment, man, you let him go for a little while. It happens.
Yep. Yeah, because we've seen comebacks. I've seen them personally, and, man, some of the greatest comebacks in the sport are when you look like a man's down, but you let him fight till the
end. But they'll tell you as a referee, how did that guy fall? When you get punched in the face, how did you fall? If they fall on their bottom like that, that should be a huge indicator that they're really, really hurt.
Yeah, and you've seen guys, and like to what Joel was saying, I've seen guys that have been like a flash knockout, and then the next punch wakes them up, and they can intelligently defend themselves after that. So you kind of have to let it go. It's a very, it's such a fine line, man. Such a fine line. Very scary.
All right, there you have it. Hey, by the way, we've got plenty more show to get to. If there's something you guys want to talk about, please text us, call us, or send us a tweet. We are available on all three means up until 4 o'clock, until we turn it over to the Blitz. We've got lots on the agenda, including sexting amongst police officers. Naughty, naughty. But we'll fill you in on that and a whole lot more. ESPN 97.5.
This is Corey Brewer, and you're listening to ESPN 97.5.
Live from the RentersWarehouse.com studios in Houston, Texas, here's Joel Blank and Barry Laminack, powered by Infuse Energy. Infuse energy into your life.
Hey, Joel, Barry, and Nick till 4. Continue to roll on. Got to a lot of hardline basketball and sports. Got some UFC. But we haven't really done anything to scratch the surface on any show until we've gotten to Japanese billiards. I mean, once you've gotten to Japanese billiards, you have truly spanned the globe for the greatest in sports coverage. I truly believe that.
I there's very few things in the world more compelling, more competitive, and more indicative of the human spirit
than
Japanese billiards.
Okay. I thought you were going to say NBA All-Star Weekend.
I think it's just billiards. It's just a Japanese guy playing, I think.
Well, they used to have, what's her name?
more accurate.
What they call her? The Black Cat or whatever?
Black Widow.
With the glove and the whole thing, yeah. Well, who needs the Black Widow when you have Nayuki Oi?
Oi.
Isn't exactly a huge professional billiard star, but he's got a little flair when he wins. Pulled off a big win in a tournament, and decided that the post-game interview was his time to shine, Nick.
We thought you'd won it a couple of racks before you did win it.
My name is Naoki Oi. Today, very lucky. Congratulations, me! Yay! English, a little. No problem. Only so.
So you had that shot to win it, and then you kind of recreated it for the crowd afterwards. When that shot didn't go in, did you think, I might have blown it here?
I have a pear. I have an apple. Oi, apple pear!
We will translate after.
Sonna kanji.
I've not ever done an interview quite like this before, Naoki. Do you think you can win this tournament?
No problem.
Congratulations, me!
So the first one is,
Yeah.
My name is Naoki Oi. Today, very lucky. Congratulations, me. So that was good. The second one is all yours, Barry, because I couldn't even figure it out completely.
The second one, he starts telling the guy, you know this meme was going around, I have a pen, I have an apple pen. You don't remember that?
No.
That was a thing for like a week. Apple Pen. It started overseas somewhere, and it was just this meme of this guy made a video of the Apple Pen. But the great part about the interview is that he's basically making the sex sign. He's got his number one digit, and he's got the zero. And the number one digit is the pen, and the zero is the apple. But he's putting the pen inside the apple. So he's on TV going, oh, Apple Pen. But he's making the sex sign. Pretty amazing.
Essentially on Barstool Sports, as they described the article, said, and I think they pretty much got a great synopsis of the video. When you're a deaf guy, but you still want to brag after bringing a chick home from the bar. That's pretty much what he did with his pointer finger and his other hand.
Oh, God, it's so good. It's stuff like that that keeps me going. You know what I mean? Like, that was way better than anything that happened NBA All-Star Weekend. Without a doubt, that was the best thing that would have happened.
No question about it. Then also,
I'm going to tweet this video, by the way.
From Tales from the Wild Side.
Mm-hmm.
Not surprisingly for El Jefe and others.
Uh-oh.
Yeah, you know where I'm going with this. San Antonio, Texas. San Antonio Police Department fired two Eastside officers last year after an internal affairs investigation determined they repeatedly disabled their GPS units on their patrol vehicles and engaged in sexual misconduct with one another while on duty. Suspension paperwork obtained by the TV station in San Antonio says the two officers found a way to not be traced as to where their squad cars might be, but then engaged in sexting to make the arrangements to get the deal done. Needless to say, the sexting was not clean.
No, it was, it was sexting. So, I mean, if you sext clean, then you're just lame, right?
Like, was this
you're
the San Antonio
hey, I
want to
put my pen in your apple. That's whack.
Yeah.
Like, you don't do that. Yeah, this was, What did you ask?
It was the San Antonio story, the San Antonio police, right?
Yeah. That's what I said,
Yeah. We mentioned this last week, didn't we?
No.
No, this just happened.
No, I think we mentioned
it. It happened a year ago, the actual incidents, but I just saw the article today.
Yeah, this was February 20th on Barstool. I don't think we talked about this.
I think we did.
During what? Never.
Was I here? Was it on Tuesday when I was gone?
No, it was not.
Okay. Can I read the sexts?
I was going to say, I was
going to. That's the best part.
You beat me to it, but go ahead.
Oh, watch out now. So Martinez is the chick, and Fondren is the dude. That's important to know. Because if you reverse them, then it's really weird. But Martinez texted Fondren, you may need to get me that D at work. I'm craving you. To which Fondren later replied, I'm sure it will still happen. Fondren later wrote, it's kind of risky, LOL, just saying, but I am down for it, though. See, you can't stop a guy. Even if there's risk involved, but if there's also sex involved at the end of the risk, it doesn't matter at that point what the risk is. Guys are going to go through with it.
That's a risk-reward that's going to be taken every single time.
If the reward is sex, then it doesn't matter what the risk is, essentially, right? I mean, like, it could be like, hey, you've got to jump across this lake full of alligators, Atari Pitfall style, to get to the goods. But if you get across, I'll sex you up. Dudes are like, all right, where do I start? How do I get it? Let's do this. Let's go. Like, it doesn't matter. The sexting continued where they started talking about fantasy talk. In a text sent to Fondren a day after the encounter, Martinez wrote, I can't believe you put yourself out. Drove to HD, drove to the parking lot, stripped, did me, finished, and then got dressed all in 15 minutes. That blows my mind. Yeah, wait, time out. Wait, all in 15 minutes. So you got dressed, you had sex.
Undressed.
You got undressed, had sex, and then dressed again and left in 15 minutes, and that blew her mind? She's aiming low. Let's be real. It had to have been a really good 5 minutes, because it probably takes, 5 minutes to get undressed and 5 minutes to get dressed. So actual sexing was about 5 minutes. It must have been an amazing 5 minutes to blow her mind.
Aside from how big and stuffed your belt is, I don't think it takes 5 minutes to get undressed.
No?
No. Again, when that's the end result, guys can probably get undressed in less than a minute.
I wouldn't even, if I only had a certain amount of time.
Shoes and socks are optional.
That's why they make that flap in the front of the underwear. You don't need to just
I remember
that.
This because Chafing. We were, I mentioned,
break in case of emergency.
I remember mentioning this when we were talking about the Uber guy, and the way she they got caught is the wife. I believe the wife. Is it true that the wife sent in the text messages to the police department saying my husband's cheating with on duty?
Yeah. In this case, I believe the wife did turn them in.
Yep.
Yes.
So we talked about this when we talked about
the mentioned Uber? This. Yep. We mentioned this.
I know
last
we talked about the Uber thing. I don't recall this part of it.
I don't either. I don't recall.
We didn't talk about it, but I definitely mentioned it.
Are you sure you didn't talk about this on one of your podcasts?
No, I mentioned it.
Are you confusing shows?
No, I mentioned it for sure.
Are all your shows, because you got so many now. Are all your shows running together?
You sure Mike from Get Me didn't call you like he was calling the show, but he did it while you were asleep after All-Star Weekend and the MMA bouts, and you guys talked about it?
Nope. I remember mentioning it to both of you. Yeah.
And then they started talking about making a mess on her roommate's sheets, which is pretty inconsiderate.
Yes, that is.
You know, why are you having sex on your roommate's bed, first of all? Second of all, why are you ruining their sheets? But then Martinez texted him, said, I'm waiting for you on the sofa. I never get those. Not in my life. Even when I was dating, I never got any of that. That's an adventurous woman. That's a fun woman. That's a gal.
Oh, look at the time. We got 2 hours in the books.
Come on, Joel. I was
and one to
ask
go,
you,
and it's what? Right about the time that Taylor needs to be picked up from school. So what do you know? It's time to step away.
You can't run.
We will
from this,
be back
Joel.
With much you more show right here on ESPN 97.5.
You can't run.
ESPN 97.5.